All right, it's so good to be back here with all of our dear friends. If we start calling names, we'll forget somebody. Am I? Brother Dalton. He's been a friend. I don't have to call him every week and say, are we still friends this week? He's always been so good, so regular, amen? If I can use that word. Philippians 2. And we went to the radio station one day. Miss Lori jumped up from behind her desk. Oh, Brother Matt Pout's dad and mom are here. So I never got over that one. Philippians 2:1, and we sure are excited. People from all over the country we talked to say, we took our family to Disney World or to Orlando, different places, and we hear this radio station, and it's playing your music. They got bad taste, they play your music. I'll be up in Indiana and a pastor will say, I've got this on my phone, on my iPhone. I just tune in this station from down in Florida and I play it all the time. So it's such a blessing the radio station is and this place is. And thank you, Brother Carter, for standing for what you've stood for all these years and not changing. Amen. Amen. Philippians 2:1, we'll read one verse, then we'll go down through a few of these verses. Philippians 2:1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Let's stop right there. Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, for all the people that are here today. We pray you would bless, meet their needs, strengthen us, fill us with your Spirit. And Father, help us to step out of the way. There's so many things we'd like to say, but help us to let you do the thinking and the preaching this morning. And Lord, we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I was on the plane the other day and this announcement came over the PA set. It said, if in case of loss of cabin pressure, oxygen mask will fall from the panels above your head, please secure your oxygen mask first before assisting others. And I thought that's a pretty good process because if you're passed out on the floor, you can't help anybody, amen. And what they were saying is you've got to get your oxygen mask on and breathe before you can help anybody else. And what he's saying here is be loved. You've got to breathe in the love of God. Amen. Before you can help anybody else, the Bible says, how can we love our brother who we have seen? Or how can we love God who we have not seen and love our brother who we have seen? Amen. Or hate our brother. And I always used to think that verse is saying, love your brother more. Love your brother more. But no, God was saying, love me more. Love me more. Drink in my love first, and then you'll be able to help somebody else. Amen. And it talks about some words here. Consolation. Used to on the game shows, they would have these years ago. They would, if you lost, they would at least give you a consolation prize. Amen. But now they just kick you in the head on the way out the door and laugh at you and call you a loser. But God, when you lose something, God consoles us. When you lose a loved one, you lose a friend, you lose your health, God consoles us. He's a consoling God. The number two, he talks about the word comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Amen. This little young lady the other day called her. She was a missionary's daughter that I knew. Growing up, or when she was growing up, she never said two words to us, but now she's a pastor's wife, and she called. Her dad was in an accident. He died, and his little 10-year-old boy died in that accident. She lost, at the same time, she lost a two-month-old baby and aunt and uncle. All these things within 2 months happened to her, and when she started telling me all these things, it was like the balm of Gilead was pouring into my heart. Amen. God was using that girl to comfort us because we had a lot of those same trials in our life. And she said, I asked God, why is all this happening? Why is all this happening? And she said, this verse came through the mail, and she tried to quote 2 Corinthians 1:4. She couldn't quote it, but she said, who comforteth us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Amen. God used that young lady to comfort me because she'd been through the same things that I was going through. And here's an illustration that'll help you understand what I'm trying to say. There was a man down in Atlanta And he was out of work, and he was griping and complaining, thinking, I'm the only one in the whole city out of work. And he went down to the unemployment office, and the lady said, the only place you can find a job is at the zoo. They'll hire you there. So he goes down to the zoo, and they said, yeah, we need some baboons. Our baboons died. And if you'll put on this baboon suit, the pay is good. Just jump around in the cage and scream and make noises. So he's doing that, and all of a sudden, the door opened and this huge lion walks in, and the guy falls down. He's having a panic attack. His heart is about to beat out of his chest, and he's screaming, get me out of here, get me out of here. And the lion walked up to him and opened that huge mouth and said, shut up, man, you're not the only one out of work. So you're not the only one going through it, amen? There's comfort, consolation, fellowship. We need the fellowship of one another. It's real important, but the most important fellowship is the fellowship of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Amen. The church at Ephesus loved the ministry so much they forgot about Jesus. And he said, you're working, you're laboring, you're suffering persecution, you're patient, you're fighting against evil, but I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. And he said, it was so serious that he said, I'm going to take your candlestick out of its place if you don't return to your first love. They were so busy. They were so busy in the ministry, they didn't have time for the Lord of the ministry. Amen. Jesus was on the outside of the church at Laodicea. He was on the outside. They loved their money more than the master. Amen. They loved their money. And it was so bad, he was on the outside of the church knocking, and they didn't even know who he was. If any man hear my voice, they didn't have time to pray anymore. Amen. The lady, the bride over in Song of Solomon, she loved her misery more than her husband. Amen. She was, he was outside knocking on the door of the house that he built. His hair was filled with dew. It's in the middle of the night. And she says, go away. I've already washed my feet. How shall I defile them again? I've already put off my coat. How shall I put it on again? She should have been jumping up out of that bed and excited to spend time with her husband. Amen. But she said, go away. I have a headache. Amen. She was more concerned about her misery, griping and complaining. She should have been excited. She should have been saying, like the old song says, I get to spend some time with my Lord. I get to fellowship. If we don't get back to fellowship with him and know him and the power of prayer and spend those hours, those midnight hours with him like we used to, the fellowship is what's missing. Amen. That's the most important. He's saying, listen, there is fellowship, but who's moved? It's not been God that moved. God didn't move. It's us. There's consolation, comfort, fellowship, mercy. Put on your mask and breathe in the love of God. Amen. Mercy. The older we get as Christians, we forget where we came from. We begin to get judgmental to those who are having a hard time. But Jesus, look at his life. Look at his heart. The woman at the well had five husbands. The one she lived with was not her husband. And she was about to get on eHarmony.com and get her two more. Amen. Jesus said, no, you don't need another relationship. You need me. Amen. Jesus saw beyond her fault and met her need and saved her and gave her a well. Zacchaeus was the most hated man in the world, probably. Amen. His own dog hated him. He stole from everybody. He was a thief, but yet Jesus looked beyond his fault and said, money is not what you need, it's me. Amen. He saved him, and Zacchaeus was so transformed that he said, I'm going to give half of my goods to feed the poor, and if I've stole anything from any man, I'll give it all fourfold back. Amen. The woman taken in adultery, Jesus had mercy. He is a merciful, merciful Savior. If there be, number one, be loved. Amen. Be loved. Soak in the love of God. We search for earthly love. Amen. We search. We hope. Oh, I hope somebody shakes my hand today when I go to church. I hope somebody's kind to me. And we seem to go through life hoping somebody will love us. But number one, seek heavenly love before you seek earthly love. Amen. There's no comparison. It's like trying to compare a tricycle to a Harley. Amen. I've driven one of those vehicles. I'm not going to tell you which one. There's no comparison. Amen. It's like comparing a blade of grass to the Eiffel Tower. There's no comparison. The one that loves you most is the one you need to seek the first, seek first and seek most and spend the time with and soak up his love. Number one, be loved. Number two, be like-minded. Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Amen. Put these four things in your mind. Consolation, comfort, fellowship, mercy. When you go to church, put these four things in your mind. Consolation, comfort, fellowship, mercy. When you go to fellowship with your friends, put these four things in your mind. Consolation, comfort, fellowship, mercy. You say, well, I have the gift of criticism. I don't think that's in the list. Consolation, comfort, fellowship, mercy. Amen. Amen. We went down to Louisiana. I was raised down there, but I went down to this church where the swamp people are, an 80-year-old man that hunts alligators named Smokey. And I thought, this is going to be a wild church. I mean, this might be even a mean church. And I walked in and I sensed a spirit. You can sense a spirit when you walk into a church. And I sensed, there's a sweet spirit in this church. Not what I expected. Amen. And one of the men met me at the door and he said, this is a good church. He said, when one person hurts in this church, we all hurt with them. When one person is in a crisis, we all pitch in and help them. This is good, a good church. You could sense it. Amen. You could sense it when you walked in the door. I was in a church in South Dakota, Brother Spencer. And I said, why is it every time I come to this church, there's always a sweet spirit? There's problems, of course, but there's a sweet spirit in this church. And some churches I go to, every time I go, the pastor says, we just went through another split. And I'm thinking, what is the difference? What is the difference? What are you doing at this church? And he said, my philosophy is charity is the bond of perfection. That was his verse. Charity is the bond of perfectness. And he said, he gave me an illustration. Some of you ladies, of course, you young ladies, you don't make quilts like the old ladies used to. Amen. But maybe you do. But anyway, this is an illustration. Maybe the ladies will understand. He said, if you get all the little squares of a quilt and you put them on a table and you put them all side by side in perfect order, they're all side by side, looks like a quilt. But if the wind blows, all of those little squares will fly away. But he said, if you stitch them together, stitch all the squares together and the wind blows, they'll stick together. Amen. And you say, what is charity? So I can put this charity in my heart. How do you have charity? Consolation, comfort, fellowship, mercy. Four acts of charity. Amen. Four acts of charity. Be loved. Number one, you got to get your oxygen mask on. Be loved. Number two, be like-minded. Number three, be looking. Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Amen. Others' pain, others' problems, others' poverty more important than you. You know how to get rid of your pain? Focus on somebody else's pain. When you look at somebody else's pain, you forget your own. Amen. We had a 75-year-old pastor the other day at a conference. He stood up and he wept for 30 minutes telling about losing his wife. And the pain, he kept talking about the pain, and he just kept weeping, and he kept telling the young preachers, take your wife on a vacation. Take your wife, spend some time with your wife. He kept emphasizing that. But as he talked about his pain, you know what? It was a healing process. It was like the balm of Gilead was being poured out in our heart because we focused on his pain instead of ours. Amen? Look at somebody else's pain and poverty, and you'll forget about your own. Amen? Look at the pain of others and then find opportunity. When you see somebody else's pain, look for opportunity. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, there's that word opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen? Amen. Find an opportunity to help somebody. When you see somebody in a crisis, go and sow a little seed. Luke 6:38, give. One word, give, and 40 words to describe what's going to happen after you give. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Amen? So if you give a teaspoon, God will give you a gallon. If you give a gallon, God will give you a barrel. If you give a barrel, God will give you a truckload. Amen? Amen. He'll give you a truckload. One lady told me, she said, I was at a missions conference, and I said, I wanted to do something big for the missionaries. They were fixing to go on the field. And she said, I kept asking, is there anything I can do for you? Anything big? And one finally said, well, I hate to say this, but I do have a bill at Best Buy on my computer, $2,000. And I was really wanting to pay it off before I go to the mission field. So she went to Best Buy, paid it off. And she said a couple of days later, she got a letter in the mail from the power company. She didn't know it, but she said they accidentally cut down some of her trees and they sent her a check for $46,000. Amen. That's what I call sowing and reaping. Amen. Are you sowing? You say, I'm so lonely. Well, have you sowed a few seeds of friendship? I'm so broke. Have you sowed a little money? Amen. Cast thy bread upon the water, and it shall come back to thee in a few days. Some people say that's what they would do as they were traveling. They would throw their seed out into the river, and down the road, as the river would take the seeds down stream and on the banks of the river, the corn would grow. And as they journeyed on their journey, they would go down and they would have stalks of corn growing along the riverbank. Amen. And they just kept sowing that seed and throwing that seed, and it was coming up all around them. Amen. Are you looking? Be looking. Number one, be loved, be like-minded, be looking for opportunity to sow some seed. And then number three, or number four, be lowly. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. The world says make yourself a great reputation. Get on YouTube and get a 10 million hits and you will be famous. Not. Amen? They said that YouTube and Twitter and Facebook are about to be bought out by one company, and they're going to call it You Twit Face. But verse 7 said he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. Notice he's going down the ladder of humility, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Notice he goes all the way down the ladder. He takes off his robe and crown, comes down to earth, becomes a man. He was so much man that he slept in a boat. He was so much God that the wind ceased when he spoke. He was so much man, he wept when Lazarus died. He was so much God, Lazarus came forth when he cried. He was so much man, he thirsted by the well. He was so much God that he saved her soul from hell. He was so much man that he died on a tree. He was so much God that he rose in victory. Yeah. Amen. He became a man. And then he became a servant. Amen. There was a king one day that laid down his crown and his robe, and he dressed like a beggar, and he went through his kingdom, and he started knocking on doors and talking to people, and they cursed him and they spit on him and they treated him like trash, like a bum. And finally he went to this one little house. A little girl opened the door. The family was just sitting at the table. They didn't have much to eat. They had some beans and cornbread. That's pretty rich food down here, but they didn't have anything to eat. But they invited him in, and he ate with that little poor family, and he told the little girl, remember these eyes. Several months later, he sent some messengers over to that house and brought them over to his palace and set them down at his table and spread a feast before him. And the little girl looked up and remembered the eyes, recognized the eyes of the king. Amen. One day he's coming back. He came as a lowly servant the first time, and a lamb that was slain for our sins, but he's coming back, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He'll sit us down at his table. Those that accept him now, he'll sit you down at his table and feed you at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Laid down his life on an old rugged cross to pay for your sin, to pay for my sin. If we'll humble ourselves, we will be exalted. Be lowly as Jesus was lowly. Amen. There was a pilot in Dallas that when you get vertigo, they teach pilots, if you get vertigo, you cannot tell if you're flying upside down or right side up. and they teach them to spit. And if the spit hits the ceiling, you're in trouble. You're flying upside down. There was a pilot in Dallas that did not know he was upside down. He pulled the controls to go up and he went down. And the world is upside down. It says, if you want to go up, be haughty, be proud. Make yourself of great reputation. But God says, if you want to go up, get on your knees. Get on your knees and pray and get a prayer life. The hardest thing you'll ever do, the hardest thing you'll ever do is pray. I can read my Bible, but I when I get through reading my Bible, I'm ready to jump up and run. The hardest thing you'll ever get a hold of it, but it's the most important thing. You have to attack it and look at it maybe like an Olympic trainer would look at his training. If you can get your prayer life under control, you'll be buff. You'll be in spiritual shape like never before. But the easiest thing to leave off is your prayer life. The easiest thing, we neglect it so easy, is our prayer life. The devil will do everything to distract you. You've got to take some time in your schedule every day to pray. Be lowly. Then last of all, be lifted. Philippians 2:9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things. Notice these three places: of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Three places the knee will bow: in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Bow the knee here, and he'll lift you all the way to heaven. Amen. Reject him here, and you'll have to bow the knee in hell. There are people, all those that said they were atheists and that Jesus was not Lord. Amen. They're in hell now. They're bowing the knee. I'd rather bow the knee here than bow the knee in hell. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the water lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Humble yourself and you'll be exalted. Be lowly and you'll be lifted. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. There was this little girl, she had this little ring that she got in a bubble gum machine. Her daddy kept saying, give me that ring if you love me. No, she'd run to her room and pout week after week. If you love me, you give me that ring. No. Finally, she said, okay, daddy, I love you more than this ring. And he took the ring and threw it into the fire, and she started to cry, but he pulled out of his pocket a diamond ring. Her eyes lit up. How long have you had that? Ever since I asked you to give me that other one, the little cheap toy ring, amen? If you'll give him your life and all your dreams, he'll give you something so much greater than you ever expected. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that keepeth his life, saveth his life, shall lose it. Would you give him your life? Humble yourself and you shall be exalted. Be loved. Be like-minded. Be looking. Be lowly. Be lifted. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, your mercy. Pray you'd seal this message in our heart. And Lord, may it bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.